I want to ask you this morning as we get started, how many of you find it difficult to pray? Sometimes finding the right words or the right heart to pray can be hard. We sometimes don't know where to start. We sometimes don't even have the words. Maybe we don't even have the confidence to know when it comes to praying, how is it that I pray? What should I be praying? What should I be saying? And sometimes we can overcomplicate a life of prayer. Sometimes we think we have to be deeply, deeply religious, know all the big fancy words and expressions, sound eloquent, and be able to use words that, yeah, sound really good when you're praying them, but what do they mean in practice when we try and apply these things to our lives? Am I the only person in the room today that struggles to pray? That struggles sometimes to find those words when circumstances seem too big or too difficult? We find it hard to pray. When things seem impossible, we find it hard to pray. And sometimes even the idea of coming before God because of the stuff that we've been up to that day or that week or that year, maybe puts a barrier to us coming and spending time in prayer. And over these next few weeks, we're going to learn to pray the Jesus way. Because inspired by that conversation that I had with Naomi all those months ago, it was interesting. I think the Holy Spirit was giving me a wee nudge because every now and again, the Lord's Prayer was coming up time and time again. Either through conversation, at the conference we were at down at the Alpha Course, they were singing it, they were praying it. And I was thinking, you know, the simplicity of the Lord's Prayer and the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, there must be something in it for us today. Because the disciples were up front with Jesus and they asked him, teach us to pray. And that's what I'm hoping that we'll be able to do in these next few times together. Some of you are reading through Matthew's Gospel just now as part of the WhatsApp groups, and you've hit Matthew chapter 5. Well, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, so we're jumping a day ahead of where you are at. But it's interesting as we look in this great sermon that Jesus taught, the Sermon on the Mount, as people came far and wide to hear him speak, but ultimately he was spending time with his disciples. He was teaching them. He was inspiring them. He was shaping them to be the people that God had intended them to be. And that's the same as we come here today. So learning to pray Jesus way might actually, as we start look at this model over the next few weeks, might just help you get back to basics. Back to where we should be. In a genuine, authentic communication with God. Hearing the words of Jesus, using the words of Jesus, and applying the words of Jesus. And I hope that as we go through it bit by bit, we're dissecting it over the next few weeks to see what is it that we should be praying for today. How should we be praying today? Why should we be praying today? And I'm hoping that this will be an encouragement to you as it's been an encouragement to me as this morning we look at the first two words of this prayer, Our Father. But before we get there, I want us just to get a wee bit of background at the start of this chapter. As Jesus is there on the hillside that day teaching the people, bear in mind there was loads of different people that were listening to Jesus. You had those who had no faith. Those who had just found faith, they just met Jesus. It was enough for them to believe. There were those who were very religious and had a deep faith in God. And there were also those who were totally against what Jesus would say. I can imagine in every town, every city that Jesus went to, no matter the crowd, you would have found people in these categories. And I'd guess this morning it's no different. To you guys sitting here, you'll have your own mind, your own heart on things. But I love the fact when Jesus teaches them to pray, he's straight to the point. There's no confusion. And I want us to just look briefly before we look at these first two words at what Jesus said before. Here is where Jesus wanted to teach them. It says, and now about prayer. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I assure you that all is the reward that they will get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, because your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honoured. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us food for today and forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we'll leave the scripture there just for a second. Jesus warns the people on the mountainside that day, don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't babble on and on and on. Don't use fancy language that isn't you. Because God knows you. God knows your heart. God knows what you need before you even ask him. When you come to God and you come and say, Our Father, I hope that you can come and mean those words that he is your Father. All the people that raised their hands earlier on that said that you would have repeated this prayer at school, you might have done it every day. There was a time in school where the Lord's Prayer was said every single morning. For others, it may have been at assemblies. For others, it may have been at the Boys' Brigade or at church services that you attended. But in some ways, the prayer went from being a personal prayer and an instruction of prayer that Jesus brought almost just to liturgy, almost just to something that you repeat over and over again. Already just now, I'm guaranteeing you that you probably went, hey, that version that he read wasn't the one that I said. But for those who know the Lord's Prayer in the traditional sense, you might be able to recount it and recite it without any effort. But what does it mean in here? Because the first thing that Jesus says, and he's already instructed them, when you pray, prayer's no optional, folks. When you pray, this is how to pray. Pray like this. Our Father, it's personal. My Father. And that's where we have to start. And I suppose if we can't get past that point, it's saying, well, why are we praying and who are we praying to? Our Father, not just something that's ritual, not just something that's repeated, but something that impacts our lives. Someone who impacts our lives. I was impressed this week because I phoned a friend to find out how they were getting on and what was going on. And I told him that I was going to be recounting the Lord's Prayer today. And I thought my ears had broke halfway through the conversation, because I couldn't understand a word the person was saying. But Ian Duncan can actually say the Lord's Prayer in French fluently. Some of you struggle in English. But I was so impressed that this prayer is prayed all over the world in many languages, in many churches, by many peoples who can say God is their Father. And I suppose before we go any further this morning, I want you to think about that for you. Have you got a relationship with your Father God through Jesus the Son? We're going to think about that a wee bit later on. When you know who it is that you're praying to, and you know their character, you know their abilities, you know their power, you know their pleasure that they find in you as child of God, then you can come to pray with confidence because you know who it is that you're praying to. Many people in the world will pray to something out there, not having a clue what it is that they're praying to or even why they're doing it. But when you can pray with confidence to your Father God, who loves you as his child, who knows what you need before you even ask, who knows the plan and the purpose that he has for each one of us here, because he is God. And I suppose sometimes we think about God and we think he's God Almighty, God All-Powerful, God All-Present. And you can think of just God and his greatness. But then you start to bring it down to say that same God is our Father when we are his children. We have got genuine, uninterrupted access to God today. Right now. We were talking this week. Some people say, oh, well, I pray in the car. That's my time. I've managed to make time when I find it hard to pray. I pray in the car, and what an inspiration. Just don't shut your eyes when you're doing it. Dangerous. But finding a space, making a space, and taking a space to come before God, it's important that we realise that Jesus saw prayer important and spending time with his Father. You find in Scripture, he often went away to a quiet place, away out the road, away up a mountain to spend time to pray, to spend time with his Father, to spend time to learn, to spend time to communicate. Not just speaking, but hearing from God as well. And I just think it's amazing that we have that access to God, all because of Jesus. I love the fact that Psalm 68 tells me that God is a father to the fatherless. Been thinking about that this week. As I said earlier on, some people's experience of their father isn't positive. There is no such thing as a perfect dad. Sorry to tell all you guys that got a card that said number one dad today.